Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
What's up? It's Lip Service. I'm Angela Yee.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Buddha.
I'm Jason Lee.
Money Long, how y'all doing?
All right, so this is Money Long's first time. Buddha was a guest on here before with the Dominatrix.
Yes.
Ooh.
So he got spanked.
Me. Ooh.
On the show?
Ye always, man. Yep.
Like flogged, kind of.
Did you
like
enjoy it, or was
it was fun. It was cool.
It's different.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
Wouldn't try it again, though?
I don't know. I don't think so.
We called him in here spontaneously.
Yeah, and then caught me off guard.
And Jason Lee is here back again. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I had fun. Last time I was here with my name is T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was your people. Y'all was in the same building and everything.
Yeah, we don't live in the same building anymore. I actually ran to it the other day in my studio building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, since we just talked about you getting flogged, do y'all ever do any of that? Like, have you ever been lightly spanked or anything? I know Money Long has.
Not with toys.
Okay, with a hand.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It's nice.
Like you like it hard or you like it soft?
Well, I don't know if I should. Do I have permission to go? My husband is here.
We assume it's him doing it.
Yeah. No, so it depends. But definitely, like, if you're going to hit me, do it.
Okay. Because sometimes somebody hits you too hard and you be like, okay, you know.
That's part of it. It's a surprise. You don't know what's coming. You're like, ooh. No.
Yeah, I'm not into doing shit that I was traumatized with as a kid. You know, I was abused. So like, you spanked me, now and you didn't trigger something. Actually, ironically, I have a friend who, he's black, but he fucked a white dude, and the white dude asked him to put on a bandana because he wanted him to be like a gangster. I kind of feel like role playing shit and all that weird stuff. Like, just
I've never done that. I've never done a role play.
I'm shocked. Buddha's being real quiet, so I already know.
No, I'm sipping my drink. I'm listening. I'm
I mean, some people aren't adventurous. Some people just like to bop, bop, and it's over.
No, because Money Long, you are a very sexual person. You always admittedly say that, and we listen to your music. I feel like you be down for whatever.
If I feel comfortable, mm-hmm. which I've been married for 8 years, so it's like, you know, it's a lot of trust there. I'll try some things, yeah.
What about, have you been like tied up?
I don't particularly like not having control of what's going
That's
on.
That's why it's good.
But I would try it, yes. I feel like we might have done that before. I don't know.
You know.
I don't remember. You know, we even did. It's like...
Because that's the perfect time to tie somebody up. Somebody who is like a control freak and likes to be in control. And so it might actually really turn you on to not have control.
I don't know, man.
Being a vulnerable
state. I might have to revisit that.
Yeah, my community, Jeffrey Dahmer fucked that up.
Jason, you
no, I mean, like, you have to think about these things for real. Like, once you lose control, you're like very vulnerable. So,
but she's married. If you're with somebody you love, you know,
Lorena Bobbitt cut her husband's dick off.
I feel like it's okay, but set and setting are important.
That was a reason for her.
Have you not seen the show Snap? Ain't there a show called Snap?
Yeah, but okay.
I'm not fucking doing nothing where when you snap, I can't get up out of there.
No, they have places you can go. It's like padded rooms. They got all the stuff for you. Mm-hmm. So your mindset is like, we're going here to do something freaky. You have a safe word.
Yeah.
But I also feel like you could get tied up like lightly so that you could get out of it if you needed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't want to be tied up where I couldn't get out.
So handcuffs is out.
No, I don't want to be handcuffed, but I think you could tie it like with some type of material.
Yeah,
where like if you needed to get out, you could get out.
Ribbon. How about that?
No, I just I need to be in full control of being able to get away.
Jason, so you're the tire.
No, I'm not tired. No, because I'm.
You have 20 rules.
I'm just traumatized by the, you know, we live in a weird space right now, you know. Oh, Jason Lee. Can you imagine on the internet, Jason Lee brought me over to his house.
The NDA. Tied me up. You ain't learned nothing from Beyonce.
I've heard worse, Jason, NDA, about you. Listen, that's nothing.
But I've heard worse, too. And the shit I've heard, I didn't even do. So imagine if I tie you
up. But that's not bad.
No, I'm not tying you up.
But that's the other thing. You can't do that with, like, randos.
No. Well, now that I have money, I actually have a consent to fuck form. So if you can't even fill that out, we can't even talk. Yeah. So we got to get through that, the NDA, and then we can start playing around. But, it's a process. Yeah, protect yourself.
You have
yourself.
A consent to fuck
Absolutely.
Form?
We live in a space now where, like, the clout chase is really real. Mm-hmm. And, when Me Too movement started, I really thought there should have been a Men Too movement, because on both sides of the spectrum, like, some mm-hmm. shit is real and some shit just ain't. And then as, like, you start getting a little clout or a little money, people are fucking weird. I've had some weird ass shit.
Money Long is so happy she's married.
Right.
I really am. And I'll tell you what it's done for my confidence is amazing. I really do not care what anybody thinks about my appearance. God, trying to impress anybody. I dress for myself, do my hair, my makeup for myself. Like, I don't care about right. anyone else. I feel very protected. He's a big, scary looking man.
Yeah, he's very tall.
Yeah, nobody mess with him.
I came out because when we interviewed you on the Breakfast Club, I had asked some questions about him. I was like, ooh, I didn't realize he was sitting right there.
Yeah, he's very, he has a very intimidating presence, you know.
But he was nice. He I smiled. How you doing?
He's a nice guy. Only problem is, like, you know, the girls sometimes will push it.
Because everybody want to be like, you know, I fuck Money Long's husband.
I told him that. I'm like, don't think, I mean, you cute, but, like, don't think that they want you just because they want you.
Right.
A lot of times girls just want to take you from your girl.
Mm.
They want to be able to say they did that.
But he's too smart for that.
I had a one up.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question? Because I'm actually in the process of thinking about marriage. Not that I want to get married, but I'm thinking about, like, could I get married? Because I'm getting kind of to the age where I better get it in now so that way I'm divorced early. But let me ask you,
yo,
when you're married, so, like, you guys have been married for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever talked about, like, playing inside the marriage, like allowing other people in?
Yeah, but he's not into it.
Anymore. Oh. Like, earlier when you met him, he had two girlfriends.
Yeah.
But now he's like, that's too
well,
much.
Well, I don't know if they were girlfriends.
Oh, whatever.
Two girls.
Yeah. Two girls.
That were friends
that were willing to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he had a lot of girls.
I hate when you date a guy in the first
place. Look how he's standing there looking at
me. He's like, stop telling the story, damn it.
Yeah, no.
When a guy asks you, like, he'll be like, oh, do you like other women? Because that's their way of trying to test it out. Like, would you do this? I'm always like, nope.
Mm, that's the threesome door opener.
Buddha, you've had a threesome?
I've had.
You've had five, you said?
No, I said I have.
No, I'm kidding. Some people don't like it. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, at the time when I was young, so mm-hmm. it was cool at
How
the time.
How did it happen?
Being young in high school, being dumb.
In high school?
Okay, but is that...
Senior.
Sheesh.
Maybe
senior trip.
What?
I feel like two girls and a guy is a threesome. Two guys and a girl is a train.
Don't know. Three is three. That's
no.
how I feel like.
Yeah, we have to stop slut shaming people.
It's not. I don't think that's a slut shame.
But if you say a train got ran on a girl, that sounds negative.
Some girls like it. Apparently, they
some girls like it. But I feel like the connotation when a girl has it is negative versus when a guy has it. It's just a threesome.
Yeah, three people. You know? Look, because, like, can't three women be a threesome and three men be a threesome? What's that?
Yeah, because two women can slut a man out.
I just think three means three.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Have you ever been slutted out, Jason?
You know, I've never been slutted around. I'm not the throw around. Like, you can't just throw me around. You know, I'm not into that. But I've definitely had, I've engaged in group activities. You know, when I talk about marriage, I met somebody recently that I was like, okay, I could actually, like, be something with this person. But one of the first few questions I asked is, at some point, would you be open to a third person, like, mm-hmm. being involved? Because you got to know, here's why people got to be open to that question. Maybe. You will end up fucking dating somebody who's already thinking about a third person, already has a third person. So at least mm-hmm. get out the way and understand, like, what am I going to get myself into? You want a man to say no, he going to tell you no to get you. But then he going to go get that third person anyway. So
I think it's unrealistic to think that is two attractive people that you're not going to see other attractive people.
Right.
That doesn't mean you have to act on it. That doesn't mean you have to disrespect your person. But I think, like, I don't, like, my husband is my best friend. I have good time when he understands me. Sometimes I don't want to talk. I don't feel like being touched. I don't want to be bothered. Like, having sex frequently is overrated as a married couple. It's kind of like we spend so much time together. When we do whatever we decide to do, it's really meaningful.
Does he ever tell you no?
No. But he's never pressed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's always like, oh, I'm good. You know?
But what's that song you sung at the Grammy event that I was at? The second song. Where you talk about basically Boys like, fucking get out, right?
Yeah.
You may be in a marriage where you love your partner. Because I feel like a marriage, at least the way I'm starting to think about it as I'm getting more busier and stuff like that, is a partnership. Like, mm-hmm. how do you build a foundation of wealth together? How do you build memories and whatever? But then, like, at some point, you may want to just spark it up a little bit. Like, I don't feel like it's disrespectful to your partner to say, how about we go to Brazil and, you know, whatever, play around. If that's what your couples, if that's what y'all into.
If you both want to do that.
If you both want to do it. Not like I'm making you do it.
I don't think that's a disrespectful thing if you guys are in agreement. But mm-hmm. I know me, I've never wanted to be with, like, more than one person at a time.
Right.
So you've never done a threesome?
Never in life.
Ever?
Never.
Never wanted to.
I've only ever did one.
No,
I don't want to. Because I don't like women.
Get two guys.
What man is gonna want their wife?
It's Angela Yee. Y'all can figure it out. Angela's hot. I be seeing her comment section. All these men want Angela. Go. Just this is why I always tell, like, women who haven't had those experiences, give yourself permission to be a hoe one weekend.
But then what am I gonna do? Am I, like, you know, sucking a dick while there's a dick behind me? What am I doing?
I mean, you'll figure it out once you get.
I guess. I feel like, you know, you do got to be active because it can be a
you
little
gotta
weird.
Be active.
Everybody got to be doing something or else it's because it's kind of like voyeuristic.
Porn.
Yeah.
Or is your fear of not having a threesome because you don't want no niggas out here like we ran a train on Angela?
No, I just have never. I really like one-on-one connections. Mm. I like that. Like, yeah. I'm not a multitasker. I'm the type of person, like, I tackle one thing at a time. I don't know what I would do with two dicks. Like, yeah. I don't know that. Yeah. Like, first of all, I don't even like a 69.
One nice one is a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. You want to do that. Like, I don't like a 69. I don't like to have to, like, think about you eating my pussy while I'm sucking your dick at the same time. It doesn't. I need one thing at a time.
You got to focus.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm a focused person. Mm. Like, I like to put all my energy into one thing at a time.
So a threesome probably won't work in your favor.
Yeah.
But you get the right energy. It could be a whole lot of focusing in there. I mean, it's like you're challenging.
I guess it depends on the intention. If you're doing it just for, like, if you're doing it just for the experience, that's one thing. But if you're trying to actually, like, you know, have a release.
Get me on Hollywood Uncocked. Okay.
Oh! Yo, that could be my OnlyFans partnership.
That's funny.
All right. And now, I got to ask you, Jason, we've seen you with Kanye, mm-hmm. with Wendy Williams, mm-hmm. with Tiffany Haddish. How's Kanye doing, first of all?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's doing good. He's doing better than me if my baby mama let a nigga put my kid's name on their neck.
Well, what could she do about that?
What?
I mean, how could she stop him? But she, yeah.
That's true.
I mean,
that's weird as shit.
What are your thoughts
about
that?
He's better than me. He's better than me because he's actually asking everybody not to even feed into it. Like, don't even. Like, he's literally better than me. Because when you think about raising black kids, and, you know, she's a white woman or whatever. When you're raising black kids, which is new to the Kardashians, black culture, they stole that. You know, black dick, they've been on that. But black kids is very specific. My mama was a white woman. She didn't know how to raise a black kid. She did the best she could until she fell on drugs. And my story, you know, I've talked about on your show, you know, I went in foster care, whatever. So I have a certain amount of respect for black women or women who know how to raise black kids. Because mm-hmm. my mom never said, you black, when I went outside. But I now realize everybody saw me when I went outside that I wasn't white. So I was a boy of color, right? I just can't understand the audacity of these people who can get away with anything by allowing a white man to put this black man's kid's name on their neck. Like, it's, what do you mean? You can do something. You nigga, that's, you cross the line. Yeah. Take my kid's
I
name.
I mean, I thought that was very, you love Kanye.
He's Money my love. Favorite.
She wrote a song like, called I Love Kanye.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I that's literally, dope. He is my favorite artist. He has been since I was in high school. I have all his albums. Even the one I hate, It Always and Heartbreak.
That's my favorite album.
Wow.
I hate it.
You didn't like that album?
No.
I'm
only like one
as a songwriter and everything.
Because I like Kanye rapping. I like his bars. I like his cadences. his singing is cool, but when it's like, you know, hey,
Money
mama.
Long was my new best friend in my head until right now.
I just don't like, and I hated that haircut, but because I love
that haircut was horrible.
Because I love Kanye and I appreciate artistic expression, I still bought it in a vinyl and a CD because if you're a fan of someone,
you
love them through all of their seasons. Mm-hmm. So, but I love Kanye so much, and I think that it's unfortunate what's happening to him in the media, and just I watched the documentary. The last episode was very hard to watch. Mm-hmm. Just like his psychological, I don't want to say breakdown, but deterioration. Like you're seeing him go through something in real time
that we couldn't imagine going through.
Well, I mean, when I watched it, because it was funny, he said, he called me and said, what are you doing on Friday? I go, I'm going to the premiere of your documentary. And it was like, oh, it's Friday. Okay, I'm coming. He came. And so to watch the first episode, because they only showed the first episode with his mom, mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie, I went up to him afterwards. I was like, bro, because you know my brother's story, losing my brother. I see him, he lost his mom. I understand that type of loss is just so unexpected. It's jarring to the extent where it could fucking just shake you all the way through, right? And I said, man, I kind of want to just cry and hug you, man. I hugged him and I could see the void, you know? And just, I said recently, like proximity changes perception. I'm growing a lot. I'm maturing a lot. When I first came in the industry, I thought everybody was going to support me. And they were like, oh, stay away. He's a big bad wolf. So then I became the big bad wolf. And then I played into the narrative until I got to a point where I'm like, yo, I'm not feeling fulfilled anymore. I need to like smooth this out a little bit and make some changes. And with him, I feel like no matter what he does, whether he says some crazy shit people don't resonate with or he does something that people don't like, if he was to respond right now to Pete Davidson, what would the world say? There go crazy, yay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But some shit like that would drive a regular nigga to pull up at your baby mama house and act a goddamn fool.
It's almost like they're trying to trigger him.
No, yeah, that's what it is.
I was like, okay, why does he have this? But then I'm like, how did they even see that tattoo? Because they definitely, it's small. They like zoomed in. But why? I don't even understand.
It's so insidious though, because that family is so good at spinning whatever.
Everything. You see what Ray J just said.
Yeah, they're so good at it. To where I feel like this second nature. They don't even realize they're doing it, and I hate that they're doing it to Kanye. I hate that he's in it, like,
but you know, I feel like he also kind of knew what it was.
Yeah,
like
you know,
getting involved with Kim Kardashian, you know what it is. It's gonna put you in the spotlight, it's gonna have you in a certain space, and he liked it. Until
I think they both did. They both benefited from it. She got the swag, she got the culture somewhat, because remember before Kanye,
she wasn't getting invited
to vulture. Black men to black men hopping, take any girl's boyfriend, you created the box braids, like they were that. And then you got with Ye, and now you're Balenciaga down, brand new closet, Skims,
but I feel like it's
brand.
Like, how many of them is? I feel like it's 8 against 1. Like, that's not, you have the power of 8 people against
you. 8 women, you gotta add Caitlyn. Wait, yeah.
All I don't even know how many.
And so even Rob, the kids, don't count. Like, no, because I'm talking about star power. Like, all of them collectively can move as a force, because you know how it is with politics. Well, if you don't mess with Ye, I don't mess with Jay. So that goes across 8 people. It's like there's
no,
literally
when it comes to the media, this is how they operate. If Kim don't fuck with you, none of us do. And then it's like, none of our brands do. None of us will do interviews with you. None of us will support your show. None of us. Like, so they understand how to manipulate mainstream media. Mainstream media, because I'm in media, you're in media.
I was going to say, yeah, you're a media person.
No, I know, I forgot, right? I am in media. You learn the landscape of how media works. If the media likes you and they want to like you, you're going to be great. You know, you kill the queen, all of a sudden, you know, you're not a valid source of news, no matter what your accomplishments have been. But with Ye, I mean, I could tell you, E! News, I'll put them on blast. Hey, Brody. They wrote a story about Ye that was literally baseless, not true. All these unidentified sources of that. So when we all got on the phone and talked about it, and they acknowledged that it wasn't real, and the employee who wrote it left the day they wrote the story and then weren't responsive to emails, they didn't even want to take it down. They were like, well, it's already up. We're just going to leave up a lie. And wow. I feel like as somebody in media, we have such a responsibility. But once that narrative is painted about you, or in any way you participate in a narrative, like me being messy, doing the stuff I did early on in my career, and then playing into it, no matter what you do, you're messy. You know what I mean? So like we have a responsibility, but I feel like when it comes to him, especially with that family,
he's such an important cultural figure. Like, he has changed the way we dress. He's changed the way we listen to music, changed the way we make music, changed the way we even represent ourselves as artists, and like how we move in business. And just, I don't like that he is being maligned the way that he is. And just his legacy is like, it's just not, some people you just don't do that.
But I also feel like he continues to get support regardless. Like, he puts out an album, people gonna buy it. He puts out a shoe, people gonna buy it. He puts out a clothing line or whatever, collaboration, people gonna buy it. But so that, I don't feel like he's like an outcast in any way.
You're right in that respect. You drop a concert or tour, like you're gonna sell out. Yeah. But here's the deal. Black people have to become more than a product that can sell shit, right? Like, he's a human being. Like, I know, you know, without getting into too many details, the conversations we've had have been more of like understanding the media landscape. Like, how is this being said? And if I respond to this, how is this narrative going to be painted? Like, how is that fair? And I keep saying, you know, controlling your narrative is not controlling the author, and it's not controlling every circumstance that comes at you. It's how you respond to it, engage it, and strategically, like, address it. The Kardashians are very strategic.
But yeah,
they think they, like, about
own
it.
A lot of, huh? I need to they take some lessons for shit. Well, do you have it. Classes?
They're coming out soon. They think about it. They have a person that wrangles it. They know where to plant stuff. They know how to then take it and amplify. Like, they're very strategic. They literally read the stats of social media to decide how they react to things, and then they all collectively do it.
They know how to seize the moment.
Yeah, because I was participating in when they were trying to kill Jordan Woods. But, you know, again, they live without any accountability.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
They're on a different planet. But I do enjoy looking at them, though, and like watching their shows. And it is very entertaining.
But I also feel like they can't be. I feel like there's a lot of unhappiness there, too. Like, even if you look at Khloé, like, she's.
Well, she can't keep a man. I mean, she had Lamar. He smoked crack and left. She had Tristan. That dick is somewhere. If you need to put a GPS on that dick, because it's just all over the place. I mean, at some point, you got all that fat sucked out of you. You still, I mean, everything
she
about you.
She looks good at the back.
No, she looks great. But that still ain't enough. Something is broken. Like, y'all need to, they need to sit in a room. They need the Kardashians go to therapy. Sit in a room and sort out everything. Like, just sort it all out. Why a man can't, why you can't keep a man? Not that that's all their responsibility. Maybe it's the choices they make. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not, they're not victims by any measure.
Okay, so let's talk about choices that we make. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I know, Money Long, we were talking before this started, and you have a song called Pain.
Yes.
And so you're talking about getting, what do you say, drug?
When a man drags a woman.
Drags you. Okay. Now explain that, because I was like confused at first. So explain what it means when a man drags a woman.
So an example would be Tristan and Khloé.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you use them for whatever is valuable to you. Maybe you don't have a place to live. Maybe you just...
That's a homeless sexual.
Homeless sexual. You know, so I know a lot of homeless sexuals. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe you driving a car around. I'm just talking about like the basic things that people do.
Right.
Maybe
I'm
you just
want to
get some coochie, like consistent, you know, coochie. Maybe they cook for you. Maybe it's, you know, you have no intention of doing right by this girl, being in a relationship, dragging her, leading her on, telling her you love her. Maybe even going as far as meeting the family, and then boom, you pop up. You done got another girl pregnant. You got a whole other life.
Or, so this happened to you before?
It has, actually, a long time ago. But then they were using me because they wanted me to write songs over all of their stuff.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, somebody got with you?
I thought I was in a relationship for a couple of years, and I was not.
Because that's they a were long trying time. To leverage your songwriting ability to get, oh, that is some shady shit.
Terrible. Yeah. And had the nerve to walk up to me recently and be like, I'm so proud of you. I was like,
but you know what?
You should write a song about them.
I tried my hardest not to even focus on any lame stuff that happened to me in the past. I'm just focused on, like, I'm trying to get this 100 million. I want number one hits. I want these Grammys, you know.
But what's the lesson from that too? Because I also feel like a lot of things that we go through that was painful for us also are valuable lessons. So
don't
for you,
mess with lame Negroes,
because I think we all got to go through that at some point. Have we all messed with somebody lame?
Yeah, I mean, my book, chapter 5, Toxic Ass Nigga.
Like, yes, I.
You know, I think the lesson is self-love, like getting to a place of knowing your worth and your value and knowing, like, you can see very quickly, like, okay, this person is not here because they actually care about me. And then when you get to a place of self-love, then I think you're just very protective of making sure, like, none of that other energy seeps in to take you back to
a
place.
We don't have to do charity
anymore.
Yeah,
well, also, I was 20. He was 27. Like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Right.
I think also, too, it's like, I'm reading this book right now called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. It's amazing. It talks about how we all have these intuitive moments where, like, somebody's standing a little too close to you in the elevator or walking a little too fast in your direction, and you know, like, you have a tense up moment, like,
Something right.
Yes, but then you ignore it because you don't want to be rude, or you feel like maybe you're overreacting, or you're walking alone by yourself and a man comes up and offers assistance. Uh-huh. There's no one else around because a decent man would never do that because they understand.
I don't play that.
You know what I mean? So I feel like as a 20-year-old girl, there were so many warning signs, you know.
But you're also a 20-year-old girl.
Right.
And we're not like who we are going to be later. You know what I'm saying? Like at 20, I made a lot of really bad choices and decisions. And I was too nice and, you know, did things like just because I didn't know better.
Yeah.
At 43, I did that.
I mean, we're a constant evolution of like making mistakes and learning things. I mean, I literally have like lived my life in the moment my whole life. And so like I missed the lessons in the 2020. I was just reckless as fuck. Like I did everything I wanted to do. Stuff I didn't want to do, I did. Stuff I shouldn't have did, I did. But yeah, I mean, I don't have any guilt from the past because those lessons are what they are. But mm-hmm. now that we are where we are and there's so much information out there to learn from and people's mistakes to learn from, that like if you choose to make those mistakes, that's literally a choice.
That's so true. There's so many resources now. You don't have an excuse. You could literally go Google it.
Like people have been in more than one toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Isn't that a problem with them?
No, because sometimes you don't know if that's what it's going to be. Like,
or people just have patterns.
People can be very misleading.
So when Chloe got with Lamar, she didn't know he was going to smoke crack? Or she didn't know, like, there may be some crack around
her? I can't answer that. I didn't know he was smoking crack.
I feel like if you smoke crack, you don't do it in the open.
Yeah, it's not like
you be like... You go high.
Yeah. Have, like,
you're
crack
like, what's that smell in the house?
Yeah, what does crack smell like? Because
crack stinks.
Well, we know what crack smells like. I know what crack smells like.
I mean, if you're kissing somebody, I don't know about y'all. If you're a passionate person, you kiss somebody, you smell something that ain't that is
chicken in your nostrils.
I've never kissed
but
anyone
you just
who
said
smokes
she lives
crack
in a whole. They
of.
Live in a whole different planet. She probably even know what crack smell like. She might just thought
that's true.
That's his
she
smell.
Probably like he need a root canal. She didn't know that was crack.
Right.
I don't know. I wouldn't. Yeah, she probably has no idea. You know,
I would leave my partner if they became a crackhead. You mean like, so some people say for better, for worse?
You wouldn't
feel like trying to help?
Oh, no. Listen, there's deal breakers. If you steal, if like you're a habitual thief or you like do crack or stuff like that, no, we're not saying, I'm not even going with you to therapy.
Okay, so crack is very high. So
well, there's
like,
just
would you,
one, because I like lived through a mother who was on crack, meth. Crack, heroin.
Certain things that triggers based on like your, first of all, like one of my main things is if anyone ever raises their voice at me, I can't be with them. Like for real, if you ever raise your voice, I feel like you might hit me. I'm out. I'm never speaking to you again.
Do you raise your voice?
No.
Yeah, because you don't seem like the kind of
person. I'm not if I can get into an argument, but I'm not going to yell or scream at you. Mm. And so I never want anybody to do that to me either. Yeah.
I can't picture you screaming.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Honestly, like I try to be really productive, and the thing that I do that's bad, I feel like it's worse than screaming, is I won't say anything at all. You know how annoying that is?
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that too.
That's
called stonewalling.
And you're the kind of person that you can't really read too, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I would start a fight with you to get out of you what's going on.
Yeah, no. If you, because I honestly can't talk about something while I'm mad about it. I gotta wait. Like I need a few hours of you just leave me alone. I can't even talk to you about it. And I would tell you, I'd be like, I really can't talk about this right now. Can we talk about this later?
And you'll be talking to somebody who can't wait.
Yeah.
And then that's an argument.
I can't do it. But that's me. What?
The can't wait person. I'm getting better though now, where I'll just be like, okay, and just walk away, go play my video game, go make some nails. Something like that.
Because I would turn my back to you. Like, if you're right there, I'll turn my back like this. And you'll be talking to me, and I'll be like this the whole time.
Just to not
oh, that would make me so mad.
Fucked up.
Yeah, that's fucked up. That's toxic. That's
it's
a
like
toxic trait.
Intentionally, in a nice way, nasty. Yeah.
So I'm talking to somebody now who he doesn't raise his voice either, so we argue very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's annoying. Because it's not a really... It's like we're... being very disingenuous in arguing.
Why? You don't have to yell to argue.
We disagree. Yeah.
Because I feel like part of being in a successful relationship is being able to effectively disagree and know how to like talk to each other. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that you're not yelling and you're not saying things you don't mean. Because I'm really big on not saying things that later on I feel bad that I said.
I have a song that says that at the end.
What song is that?
It's another one. It's called The Words. Mm-hmm. It's basically saying like, I know you didn't mean it, but it hurt my feelings. Like, don't say things you can't take back.
Right.
It's true, because I remember that time you said.
Right. Like, if you tell a guy, well, your dick little, you can't never take that back. But and he is forever going to think his dick is little.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't.
But see, I also feel like we all know the things that you just should not say. Like, once you hit that low.
But people do it.
But what if he come back and be like, okay, and your pussy is drier than Dubai. You know what I mean?
And then like I'd be like, that's your fault. Or he put a picture. With your little dick, you can't even get me wet.
Or he put a picture of your Instagram like, hanging with Dubai pussy. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
Instagram, you can't post.
Okay, that's what I have a question about that. Is that real?
What?
Because I've heard so many rumors about girls going to Dubai and getting poo-pooed on.
Jason, is it real? Because I know you would know.
I'm going back next week. I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but I was hanging with a whole hooker out there and didn't even know. Like, she was just a fan. Like, she knew me, and she, like, it was good to find somebody out there who could show me around who knew who I was. And I was like, oh, I feel safe with her. Mm-hmm. Then I go to the party, and they're like, oh, good luck tonight. I'm like, good luck tonight. Like, I'm just drinking and going home. Come to find out, she was a whole prostitute.
Did you have to pay her for taking
her
around?
No, like, she just was hanging out. She was cool.
Because sometimes even just spending time, you got
to
pay.
But like, I value her, though, because she was introducing me to all the billionaires. Oh, he's a millionaire. She's running down. She's running all down, everything down to me, so.
Did anybody try to solicit you?
No, but you know, I did do something in Dubai where I could have went to jail. Want me to tell you?
What?
Okay. If you've never been to Dubai, they have rules. Like, you really need to Google it. Like, you'll go to prison forever. They don't feed you when you go to prison. They'll kill you. Like, you'll die. You'll get executed. So I go out there with Floyd, and I'm like, yo, let me go out here. And I meet all these people. Because, you know, with Floyd, people will bring him tigers. They'll bring him fucking hella money for shit. And Floyd literally just, he just appears and people bring him money. So I try to stay around and, like, mm-hmm. be that outlier that takes the extra.
Like, you
need me a little bag, you know? So I go out there, and it's my first time in Dubai. Like, this is the future. It's money everywhere. And so I go out to the club, and this guy's sending us $250,000. I mean, $60,000 bottles of champagne. So he sends like four. It's $250,000.
Let's just give me the money.
So he sends the champagne. So I'm drinking it because Floyd don't drink. So I get drunk, and Floyd's like, I'm going to bed. I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I'm going out. So I asked, can I take your driver? Yeah. So the driver takes us and the hooker. We're going to go to this party. We go to the party. As soon as I walk in the party, I'm already drunk. I order a bottle. I tell the driver, whatever you do when I get drunk, I'm a little extra. Can you, like, make sure I get back okay? I don't want to go to jail. He's like, yeah. We go to after party. We get there. People send in bottles. I get lit. And I go outside. I have to pee. So I pee outside.
Oh, you can't do that.
See, they don't have police in Dubai, but I also didn't know they have cameras everywhere. Ooh. And the cameras film you. And they take that and they film me peeing.
Send it to the police.
Film me peeing next to Floyd's car, took the license plate, called the owner of the travel company, ooh. Contacted Floyd, came to the hotel,
ooh.
And he was like, you could go to jail. I'm like, for what? I had to pee, but that's 15
Why
years
Why didn't you
prison.
Pee in the bathroom, oh. Jason?
I was outside. I was going to the shuttle to go back to the hotel.
See, that's that spoiled American stuff.
Let me tell you now, my last trip to
Dubai.
I haven't
peed outside in so long.
My last trip to Dubai, I had like a couple drinks and that was it.
Wow.
That's crazy. You can't cuss people out. You can't film nobody. Like, there's
Do you
rules.
Like that? What? You think that's like a better way?
I love it out there, though.
See?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. You can't
I
film
go
anybody?
So bad.
No. You can't smoke weed. There's a woman right now. She's being executed because she got caught with a half a pound
okay,
of cocaine.
Okay, that's too much.
She's getting executed. They don't play.
That's too far. Because we've heard stories of people from here who have gone there and like got arrested for like a little bit of weed. Not knowing.
Listen.
So no one smokes weed?
So I know people that smoke
There's people over there. There's somebody right now got caught with weed. And they're getting like a crazy prison. They don't play. It's a Muslim country. But I will say, to your point, when I was out there, they pop and pee out there.
Okay, because I read that you can't, like, outside of your hotel grounds, you can't
you
have...
You kiss your husband, you're going to jail. You're getting in trouble.
If you kiss your husband...
There's no PDA in public. You cannot do public PDA.
No, your EP can't. They can't even sell your EP out there.
You
don't
see one person holding a hand in Dubai. You can't all this, hey, baby. No, you know, you're not doing that.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I'm gay in the United States. When I hit Dubai, my wife is at home. I fall into the
You can't
culture.
Be gay in Dubai?
It's illegal.
But they're definitely doing...
You can't hook up with nobody from the club and take them to your hotel. If they report you, you're in trouble.
What?
Oh,
but
wow.
I tell you this, and you know the other thing, when they drive in Dubai, they're driving, they follow the speed limit because there's cameras everywhere. If you get caught speeding, they come to your house or send you.
That's too much. There's no crime, though.
There's no crime. You can wear all your, I wear all my jewelry out, no security, no crime.
But, okay, so no guys try to talk to you?
I didn't say that.
Okay, so
it's
you said it's a crime.
Though. It's
but,
different. It's not like.
So how do they try to talk to you?
Y'all got like a code.
It's like they want to smoke on your hookah. You know, I'm smoking on their
they
hookah.
They like. You know?
It's just, you feel, but I don't give a fuck what. There's nothing you can do in Dubai to make me cross that line.
Okay.
Because the way they get you, they put some on your passport. So you get all the way to the airport, think you about to board your flight, and they get you there. That's why you still.
So they let you stay.
Oh, they catch you.
No, but they let you enjoy your trip.
I mean, if they don't come and get you, but they put a hold on your passport. So you do all of what you moving through, thinking you wherever you at.
So how'd you get out after peeing outside?
Oh, I was terrified the whole way to the airport. Once they let me through, I was like, Lord, thank you.
He's like, I would never pee outside again. God, please.
He just told you was with Floyd.
I'll never pee again.
I think Floyd said he got me out of trouble, but you know, Floyd be exaggerating shit too. So
he might have to pay him off.
Yeah. All right, now let's talk about something else. Because I know earlier we were talking about Sneaky Link.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever fell in love with their Sneaky Link? Like somebody that it was just really like a jump off and then it turned into more? Buddha, since you ain't saying shit.
No.
You never just been hooked up with a girl and then been like.
Definitely like strung out in love though while in a relationship.
So what's strung
just,
out? What's the difference between strung out?
Like hooked, like to the point where. You considering being in a relationship with this person?
Mm-hmm. And, that's what it is.
And leaving the person that you're currently with? Or
well, I didn't say you have to leave the person.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
But you know, sometimes
well, Sneaky
like
Link isn't necessarily like cheating. It's like
yeah, it could be
somebody you just don't want everybody to know that you're with.
True.
Then, when y'all be in a club together and then you act like y'all not together, but you be like, later on.
You know y'all gonna link afterwards.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever tricked on a girl?
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
Why you hesitate so much?
Because I had to think about where was the location. But definitely on vacation in DR. Definitely.
I guess I'm lame. I've never done a lot of things.
But you never like felt like a sneaky link? Though.
No, I never had. I don't believe I might have been someone's sneaky link to them, but I was in a relationship. So
I mean,
like
let's talk about prior to this.
No, I mean, prior to my husband.
Right, okay.
I had two relationships. In my mind, I was a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Both times.
This the guy you was writing for?
The second one.
Yeah.
The first one was the Drake one.
Okay.
And then after that,
who?
I'm married.
The guy that was mad that she wouldn't let her go work in the studio with Drake.
Oh yeah. Got it.
And then I got married.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really go on a lot of dates. First of all, I don't really like people.
Yeah, we know. Nobody.
Yeah, no, I don't. Because I just feel like most people are bullies. They're mean. They're selfish. They take advantage of people. They lie. So just it's just a protective thing. It's just like, if I just already don't even count on you being...
Do you have a lot of female friends? Or no?
Because I can't stand no crybabies. Crybaby, are you really my friend? Like, oh, P.O. I hate that.
Oh my god. So you're not a crybaby at all?
I used to be, but not in that way. Like, not like, you're not hanging out with me. Like, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, just somebody who just really all want to be.
You know what's crazy? I have a lot of female friends. Like, I really do. And honestly, like, I don't cry barely ever. I was talking about this the other day on the show. I don't even cry at funerals, really. But I don't know that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I also feel like for you as a songwriter who pours your heart out, that it would make you be an emotional person.
I'm emotional. Yeah, I have emotions. Like, I don't mind displaying them. But I just mean, like, is there a problem? Okay, what are we going to do about it?
What's
versus, like,
mm-hmm.
complaining about your baby daddy all the time. Complaining. Like, I hate that. Mm-hmm. I'm not the gossipy person, you know?
Do you ever use that aspect or that perspective of that person to help you songwrite?
Yes. Okay. I've never said that out loud, so I'm sure they're gonna be like, but you be for me. I was like, absolutely. I'm living vicariously, sure, because I don't have those types of problems. So
right.
I look at it as like telling stories. I'm telling the different perspectives of the women that I know or that I'm around or that things that I see or hear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving my best interpretation. Yeah, I just give my best interpretation of that.
Cool.
But yeah, I like to think that I'm pretty drama free. I don't really mess with you unless you come.
Do you get friendly with people that you write for? Like when you're in the studio writing with somebody?
I've wanted that, but on this side of it now, I understand everybody wants something from you. They're all grabbing. They're all trying to get their talents in your back. So a lot of things that I looked at as like rude or just like, damn, why she, you know, I'm giving her all this shit. Why is she being me? I understand now.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, you don't know who is who. You don't know who's genuine. You don't know who's trying to like plot on you. Who's trying to just sit up under you and get all your intel so they can hit up your manager, your hairstylist, you know, snatch people out from under you. It's just very important to maintain your mystery and your formula. Keep that
I was just,
you know, quiet. Because now I finally figured it out. Like, I've got my team of people. There's only a few pieces I'm missing. Like, I need a really good assistant, a great personal trainer. Like, just very ancillary things. I've got my videographer, photographer. I got my managers. I've got my hairstylist, makeup artist, stylist. I got two or three in each category. I do my own nails. So I don't need certain things I have to worry about. And just having somebody just trying to just ask you too many questions or get too close is dangerous.
But I also feel like maybe you need to be around people that are like, that you want to level up to also. Because I like to surround myself with people that I'm like, they know more about me than something, or like they have a business going on that I aspire.
I'm this. That's how I am. Mm-hmm. If you see who I'm around, I mean, I'm very strategic in who I allow to get close enough to build a connection with. I think there's this perception of me that I'm friends with all these celebrities. I know everybody, but friends, I think there's probably like five or six that I would say, or maybe four, that I'm like, okay, we're really friends.
Who?
Well, if I start naming names, people are going to be like, well, I'll say some names.
Cardi.
Cardi, of course. She's, of course. Tiffany. Floyd. I'm going to just leave it there. Those three.
Wendy.
I'll say Wendy, too. But Wendy is different because, like, the pop out with Wendy this weekend was strategic for
Is her show really coming back?
She says she's coming back.
But the reason, did they say it or did she say it?
Well, let me tell you about they. Because them and some motherfuckers over there producing that show. I ain't even talking about like the local people. The local people are cool because I've been on the show several times, whatever, and I fuck with all them. Hey, I have this fundamental issue right now with so many white people that control everything, whether it's VC raising money or media or music or like, you know, I don't know, as much as they're saying they want to invest in black, that they really mean it. This is a black woman who we all know, like, literally built her own way to, from radio all the way up to nationally syndicated TV. It's hard to get a nationally syndicated show, right? And so when you have somebody that does that and then leaves for whatever reason, what I will say, the only thing I can think of why she would have left is having been on the show right before she left and then seeing her recently. She was completely dialed in this time, focused, calm, happy, healthy. And I think when she was there, I felt like she was on this hamster wheel, like literally in between, running her from here to there. And, you know, she's 56 or something like that. And she's been through it for a long time and been through a lot. I felt like the way they did her when she left, putting all these white people on who don't resonate with the audience, not structuring the show because these celebrities don't want to do hot topics. They don't want to hurt people's feelings. Your show, when I looked at my podcast, I looked at Breakfast Club, like, I love that. That's a show you could tune in. Y'all gonna ask all the shit we're waiting for you to ask, or that we believe should be asked. We know what's gonna happen.
Money Line felt like we were too nice.
I was surprised, man. Maybe I don't have enough tea.
But some people feel like you're easy or not. But you know, it's a vibe. You get in there and you. But you ask the questions, and I feel like that's missing. Wendy gives us that in the morning. You know, nobody wants to watch Drew Barrymore. That shit is fucking annoying, and her lisp annoys me. Like, it was cute when E.T. was in the room, but like right now, Drew, you need to go
Why
away.
Why did you bring up E.T.? That was so long ago, Jason.
That's when I liked her. Then you have the real, they weren't real. Lonnie was a bully, you know what I mean? I don't know if it was her weight issues or just the fact that Tamar was the star, but she bullied everybody there. Bam, that show's gone.
I like Lonnie.
I know. And then there's, I don't even know, all the other shows that are getting canceled. Everybody's unemployed now. Nobody cares, right? But we want Wendy back. So I had dinner the other night with Wendy, and it was just evident when I was sitting there that she had all her faculties. So I said to her, you know, because I've been trying to get in touch with Wendy since July of last year. I've been doing the show, been going to her house, taking her out, linked her up with Tiffany and Cardi, like helping to bring good people in her life. And so when I called the manager, he was like, oh, Wendy's, she's unavailable and can't take any calls. And I said, can I send her flowers? Because I was going to send a note. You know, bitch call me.
Secret step aside, code. You know?
She's not accepting flowers. She's Whoa. Not. So I was going to pull up at her house, but I'm like, that's kind of weird. So when I sat there with her and she told me that she didn't get any messages, when they had asked me to host the show for the opening week, and I told them, okay, Monday I'll bring Tiffany, Tuesday I'll bring Cardi, Wednesday I'll get Mariah Carey to do a surprise for Norman, you know, Thursday we'll bring Tamar. They were like, nah, we're not doing that. And they start bringing on a bunch of white people who were doing dumb shit like Leah Remini. It was always... I was thinking about Leah Remini and Drew Barrymore. It's always the people with the lisp. But they had Leah Remini sit up there with the girl from Drag Race, boring, talking about getting her coochie ate out. Nobody want to hear that. Nobody want to hear that from her. So when I saw what they were doing with the show, you know, I started publicly criticizing them. And they were offended that I did, you know, because what the guy who owns the show called and said, you know, why don't I ask Nicki Minaj to co-host with me? And I'm like, you must not be paying attention because I don't have a relationship with her. They're like, oh, Cardi B, same thing.
Whoa, and definitely not like, the same thing.
I was like, that's not the same thing. So once I started publicly addressing it, I made it a point to ask Wendy. She wasn't aware of none of that. And then she told me how her manager allegedly stole some money from her, and then the people who had kind of worked with the bank to hold all her money, which is, by the way, I'm moving all my money out of Wells Fargo now. So when I start talking to him, I'm like, yo, we need to pop out. Because now that I'm looking at you, you're smiling, you're healthy, you're happy, you're like energetic, you're running to the car by yourself. Like, this is not the Wendy we've been seeing. So we got dressed up, went to Cardi's party, and we made sure that everybody saw those images. And so now everybody, and the next day, they didn't even mention her on her show. They did a whole Met Gala recap, after party recap.
And they didn't mention Wendy.
And didn't mention Wendy. Wow. So the fans right now are like killing them online.
And they're trying to paint a picture of her. That's not true.
Well, hold on. Get it. Think, going back to the Kardashians, how the mainstream works, right? If you say somebody's crazy, if you get a picture or you use an old picture and say they're debilitated, you know, we all know Wendy's had her issues. And then you put enough of that in the press and it gets picked up and amplified. And then you build a case to seize their account. So they have no resources now, right? Mm. Wendy said her manager came to her house with two security guards unannounced and uninvited. So she had to hurry up and get out the back door and get in her car and fly to Miami to be with her family because she, you know, what the fuck they were all trying to do.
Trying to commit her or something.
And then now you got people taking over her show. So every morning it's still the Wendy Williams show and name and title and opening.
Yeah, see, Michael Rapaport was just hosting because Envy was on with
that. Is so scary.
If the Breakfast Club hosted the Wendy Williams show, we would watch. If Jason Lee hosted, we would watch. They say, oh, you're not big enough. I go, well, I'm not big enough. My Kanye West interview got 3 billion impressions and Sherry Shepherd got like 785,000. So
do you like Sherry Shepherd?
I like Sherry Shepherd, but not for that. Because, you know,
Hot Topic has her own show coming, so it'll be different.
And that show may be good, but I don't go to McDonald's to eat the Burger King French fries. I go to McDonald's to eat McDonald's French fries. And we all know wherever we go, whatever we're enticed by, whatever our appetite is, you know, if I went to the Breakfast Club and I was looking at Peter Rosenberg and fucking Ebro, I would be like, what the fuck is this plastic ass, fake ass version of the realest show in the world? Like, I don't want it. And that's what's happening with the fans. Michael Rapaport sent there talking about black women and making jokes about the Real Housewives, like to a show that's watched predominantly by probably black women or black people. It doesn't make any sense. Mm. So how is it that you say Jason Lee bringing Cardi B or Jason Lee bringing Tiffany Haddish or Jason Lee bringing Mariah Carey is not big enough for
Jason,
that audience?
How do you have time to date in between all of these things that you're doing?
Because I got
to
go home and lay down with something.
So that's it, just at night?
No. The one
do you bring, like, if you're dating somebody, do you bring them around people?
Yes. True story. 2 weeks ago, the guy I'm talking to now is in town, about to get in bed. And I get a call and they say, Madonna wants you to come to this party. I'm like, okay, I'm getting up because whatever Madonna wants, what the fuck you do. Get in the car, we get over there and I'm like, I don't know how this nigga gonna act because it's fucking Madonna. So he's there and we're, you know, if you see him and I'll show you what he looked like, you know, we're kind of all over each other being really gay because I'm gay as fuck. So we're kissing all this. And so Madonna's like, yo, get a fucking room. And and he says to her, he's Colombian, hey, Madonna. And he kisses her on the cheek. You're an icon. And she looks at him. I said, bitch, don't even think about it. You know what I mean? And we're laughing. But he went right back to focusing on me. So, yes, he wasn't all in her face trying to get to know her, trying to politic.
Because that's annoying.
But then Tiffany Haddish is hanging all on his back. I'm like, I'll fight you, too. I'll fight both of you. But, yeah, he doesn't.
He's not bisexual, though.
No, he's gay. See, okay. You know I like to date the bisexuals. He's straight. I mean, gay. Yeah, he's gay.
Which one?
He's completely gay.
Okay. All right, yeah. There we go.
I think I need to, back to even what you were saying earlier, I think I just need to like be patient with the company that I keep because it's not that I don't want to have genuine connection. It's just that I think it's like for example, when stuff like that happens, when you take somebody out and they don't know how to act, now I'm like, well, why did I even?
I don't want you to second guess what you said though, because what you said, like, people that are listening may not understand it, but they're not in the position of having to protect what you built. Like, I feel like I went through a phase where I used to be very much like, come on, let's hang out. Let's, let's go here. Or I'll take people places where, to me, I'm just out. But to them, I don't see how they may see it. And then I have people who will invite themselves in my life or been invited in. And all of a sudden now it's their life, too. And they can just run all through a playground. And, right. So I think there's a certain level of, like, you do have your guard up a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like I've made better friends as I get older. I mean, I have some of my friends that have been like my staples, my standards, like from college and even from high school.
Is Karen Silva your friend?
Yeah, we're cool.
You like her still?
Yeah, I don't have any problem. I mean, listen, I know y'all have like your that? Issues.
Because I missed you on the Breakfast Club when I came
here. I was on vacation that week.
You're nice, Angela. Let me tell you something. You're a good friend because there's some people you have to throw away. At some point, you have to look at them in the face and say, you're evicted. Because I can tell that cancer you spreading around, it ain't finna come over here. Because see, people that spread cancer, it ain't selective cancer. It's just not your turn cancer. I can look at somebody fuck you over, and the minute they fuck you over, I'm out. Because you ain't going to have a chance to come over here. But you're such a nice person, Angela.
I am a very nice person. Some people will say I'm too nice. Okay.
I think you're too nice.
A lot of people would say that. But I also never want this industry to change who I am.
Mm. Yeah, that's
true. So I never want to be, because I've always been a nice person. Like, my whole life, I've been
this way. It's fun to be nice.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, I feel like I get a lot of blessings because of that. And there might be people who I was cool with it. I'm not really cool with anymore, but I don't have any hatred toward anybody.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I feel like if somebody does me wrong, it hurts them more than it hurts me.
Right.
That's really how
they're
I look at it.
They're not doing it to you. They're doing it to God.
Yeah. And I also look at it like the worst thing I could do to somebody is not really mess with you anymore.
Right.
And that's it. I don't need to throw no dirt on nobody's name. If you fucked up to me, you really just fucked yourself over because you're not a good person. And so that's just how I look at it.
But see, I look at it like when you're a bad person, you do me bad, I want the whole world to know it.
No, I don't.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm both.
Because it's like the warning sign we never got. Like, right. In this industry, we're all tight to be tight-lipped or you're messy. Mm. Oh, don't say that because that's messy. You say that, you're going to do that. You know, there's networks who try to offer me stuff, but then like they want me to follow a code. I don't know how to do that because I'm literally
going. Yeah, and look, and I think that's just different than how I operate, and I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah, it's just,
you know,
different.
Some people have no problem with saying any and everything. And I feel like a lot of things that I got, like, look, I have some things about to happen that I'm like, I'm so glad that I didn't say certain things because I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in if I did. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I feel like at some point later on in life, it'll all come out. But I don't feel like now is the right time. And also, like I said, you know how I said I operate where if I'm mad, I can't say something right away. Mm-hmm. I need some time. Mm-hmm. I don't like to talk about things while I'm in the midst of it.
Yeah, well, that's smart.
I'd rather talk about, because things change, and I'd rather look at things in retrospect. And I can reflect on things later. But I also feel like I don't let any of that weigh me down. Like, I might have fucked up shit happen, but then everything else is pretty good and in balance, so it doesn't affect me as much.
I think I have more of like a, I'm in between, because I'm more so like, say whatever you want, just don't touch me. Don't touch me. Keep my name out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, don't say my name, because if you get to talking, oh, you want to talk? Okay, well, let's tell everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's me.
But I always feel like, though, I'm black and I'm gay and I'm fighting in terms of representation for a whole group of people who don't get to sit where I sit. Like, I just left Gary Vee. I just got a call yesterday from the White House. I'm doing shit as a self-made entrepreneur that a lot of black or gay people don't believe they can do. And I'm like, nigga, we can do all this. And if Joe Budden say something, you can respond. And if Karen Civil try to get you, you can say something. Because, like, your truth is your truth. Now, I'm writing my next book, How I Stopped Giving a Fucking Start Already.
I was about to ask you, where did this fearlessness come from?
No. The first book was really, like,
it was very juicy.
It was humanized. Like, yeah. I'm a human. Like, I'm not sure I got feelings. But this next book is,
so Angela, how did you get so fearless?
I already been shot. What you gonna do? You gonna kill me?
Wow.
You beat me up. That's content for months. So I welcome being slapped. Slap me.
Are there times that you regret things that you said, though?
You know, I called Megan recently and apologized.
Okay.
Because she's a nice, you met her. She's nice as fuck.
And she's been through a lot. Like, I met Megan and her mom.
Yeah. Okay.
When I first met Meg, she was with her mom. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was on lip service. And her mom was chiming in. Mm-hmm. Her mom was cool.
Wait, her mom came here?
It was actually recorded it at iHeart.
Okay.
You know, I can understand that perspective. You were so close to your mom. Y'all was together all the time. Your mom was cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And so we don't even, like how we talk about Kanye losing his mom. Yeah. You know, we have to give her some grace, because I also feel like, you know, and I can't really speak for her, but I feel like that's a hard thing for her to even try to heal from.
Yeah.
Because at that time, she was not even where she is now. And to be on that
it's
platform.
It's like your mom doesn't get to see it. And
go
she was
through so much. Yeah. And then you still working and trying to make things happen. But there's this loss. Her mom was like her manager.
Well, I had become so frustrated with the industry so frustrated with, you know, black people out promoting black excellence and not coming and supporting a black platform, that I personalized it. That was a lesson. Don't take it personal, right? The second lesson was, don't use your platform to weaponize, you know, whatever. And so, like, I had become so with Megan not coming on the show after I introduced her to Cardi and all that, that I felt some type of way. And I didn't even realize, like, how of an asshole I was being. You know what I mean? Because I really was moving through, like, I don't give a fuck. Y'all gonna be mad, suck a dick, fuck all your fucking mama. Not her, but everybody else.
And then when I looked at myself and how I was like talking about her, I just called her one day. I said, yo, bitch, I'm just calling to say I'm sorry. And she said, oh, no. She tried to downplay. I said, no, listen to it. I want you to receive that. I'm literally wholeheartedly.
Because it's like it hurts when people talk about you.
Yeah.
It does hurt, whether or not, like, you
but
know.
But don't hurt me.
Jason.
It don't. No, I swear.
Ever?
On my dead brother, mother, everybody dead right now in the grave. It don't. Because I really take it like. It's almost like Game of Thrones. Like when they talk about me or when they say shit or like when Peter Rosenberg,
all press is good press.
When Peter Rosenberg, his little fat ass was on the Instagram talking all that shit. I'm like, you little motherfucker. I can't wait to drag you, bitch. Because my mouth is so reckless that at the end of the day, my level of give
look
a fuck
money
is beyond.
So, no, I love that.
No, my like, level yo, of you're the type of person I'll be like, yo.
Oh, money long. Let me tell you right now.
Let me tell you something.
Don't get too close because you will literally, it'll rub off. I literally, my level of giving a fuck is like beyond because you literally are so pathetic and your life is so worthless that you found an Instagram page to talk about a person who's literally playing with his dogs at home, not even fucking thinking of you. And like, what straight man gets in a fight with a gay dude? Like, you already know at the end of the day, I might even say, yeah, Peter, I sucked your dick. That's why you're mad. Not that I did, but I could, you know?
You think you could?
No, I could say that. No, I could never.
Did you ever get a reaction? Did you ever get a reaction
from Peter?
Somebody that you was just surprised, like, oh shit, they're tuning into me?
Like in a bad way or good?
No,
way?
Just you was just shocked that you.
I mean,
reached
it trips.
That person.
It's a trip when the White House reaches out. I'm like, nigga, I call my account. Like, what the taxes look like? You know, what
they,
you know, we
all watching
me.
They
was in a group chat like, nah, did you see that? Is that spam? Is that shit real? Like, what are we doing? But yeah, I mean, I get surprised when like people know because I still don't even. This shit is just fun to me. Like, I don't think, like, there's a lot of people watching that I don't have a relationship with who are watching me on this show or mm-hmm. Drink Champs who are like, yo, like, you know.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Because at Cardi's party, I was shocked and I was talking to my team about it. I don't go outside. Mm-hmm. I stay in the house.
Yes, you,
that's
you
how
do
I stay
not.
Stay out of trouble.
Aww, such a good girl.
It's not even that. I actually really am like wild and adventurous. And I like to do, you know, I like skydiving and I like, you know, doing all like, I like
crazy
the,
white people shit.
Thrill.
Yeah. Well,
thrill
I would,
seeker.
I want
but she
to
won't
do,
get tied up.
Yeah.
I didn't
she
say
jump
I wouldn't.
Plane, but she can't tie her up.
But she'll
I didn't
jump out
say
a plane.
I wouldn't do it. I just said I haven't because I don't really want to be out of control. But
you better YouTube some of them skydiving incidents, but go ahead.
I would love to just like explore the best and the maximum possibilities out of life. I don't want to be in the middle of BS and like low and low level energy stuff. So at the Cardi party was my first experience since the song blew up and since being very like front facing and having people
recognize
you know recognize
you.
Me. I was shocked at the amount of people that when they walked past me were like you
yeah,
know, or like,
because you don't go anywhere.
I caught her as soon as she walked in the party. I don't even think you heard me at first.
I did.
You?
I said, hey,
oh,
Jason.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, they kicked us
but
out.
Isn't that a good thing?
They kicked us out the VIP.
No, they didn't.
They did.
What?
You could have came over to it. Did you see
they
Wendy there?
Us, but you know,
you are fucking lying.
No, they kicked us out.
No, well,
security,
the thing
they was like,
well,
y'all got to get out right
but
now.
See, this is why she needs to be friends with me because they try to
Jason
kick us out. They try to kick us out. So they come over, they start rearranging the table. I said, excuse me, are you moving all this because y'all bringing more bottles? Because what are you moving? Oh, well, this is for Jeremy Scott. I go, you put Jeremy right there. I'm sitting right here. And like they, because it was a small space, they were trying to accommodate mm-hmm. everybody. But nah, you should have came over there with us.
You know what though? Because I don't go out and because I'm not pressed, whenever people start acting like that and getting like that, because when I trip, I act up. Fucking ass. So I'd be
like, I don't
just,
even want to do that.
I'd be like, you know what? Let me
Hollywood
just go out.
Unlocked, slap the bus boy.
Let me
no,
from
no,
they,
no,
they, money
like,
long.
Rashad, my manager, really be like trying to keep
is
me
that
from
the one
going.
Was at the Grammys with you?
Yeah, okay. He worked there with
you. You know what? How is it, right? From okay, obviously you were a millionaire when you were very young, you know, before 20, writing all these hit songs for people, but people might not have recognized you
right.
when you went places, and now they do.
It's different.
So, yeah, it's different. So mm-hmm. how was it for you, like, knowing, like, I got all this money, but people still acting funny?
I actually liked it because I don't like for people to clock my pockets. I don't like for people that know I got nothing because don't ask me for nothing. I want to give it to you. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be like, oh, you know, my AC broke. I'll be like, damn, that's
my
tough.
My AC
you hot.
Broke.
You know what I'm saying? I like to be able to, like, let me give you this money. Let me take you on this trip. Let me show you some things. Because that's one of my love languages, like how I show my affection. Mm-hmm. I don't like to feel used,
right?
You know? And I never told the people that were closest to me when I was younger that I had money. I was always paying for stuff, always the one, because none of my friends at the time had any money. So if I wanted to go on vacation, I had to pay for everything.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So,
but that's a good thing though, you know, to be able to have success and be able to take friends on trips and do things for them. And
but you know what's really nice? Appreciate it. You know what's really nice? When you have friends that's like could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you're like, I got this check. Because after a while, you get tired of paying for everything. Yeah.
You do.
It's good here and there, but I do like, because for me, coming out of foster care abuse and all that, and coming mm-hmm. from where I come from, to be able to the escapism to go into somebody else like a Queen Latifah's life and like, you know, see her 750i back in the 90s, which was, you know, a Bentley or whatever mm-hmm. then, you know, be able to like look at these people, you know, I know what those images and experiences did for me and unlocking mm-hmm. my passion and drive and you know, opportunity to think about what I could actually become. So I do like taking people on trips or taking them to places where they experience stuff and then go back and find their own passion. Now, if you just go out, you like just me running my credit card, we probably not gonna hang out.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do stupid stuff like go to the club, get a section, get all these bottles, and now just me in a section.
Like, by yourself?
Yeah, and girls would try to come say, oh, I'm just rest my feet. No, you're not. Get up.
You know, wait, like, by yourself so in a section?
By myself.
That's wait, evil. You and your husband or by
no,
yourself?
No, just me. Before I met him.
What are you doing in a section with the bottle by yourself?
$5,000 on a section. Just shit. Sit there by myself in a club. I used to do that in
just
LA.
Just to be in the club?
I ain't gonna
because
lie.
Because I want to sit at a table.
This
I do not want to be
I would
in
not
crowd.
Spend money on. I hate buying bottles. Cause, really? Especially because you could let people know you come in and they'll give them to you.
Yeah,
I mean, but like at the time I had money and nobody knew who I was.
That's when you need representation and somebody be like, we have Priscilla Renee come in and she's done this, she's done that.
But see, also the reason why I got rich so quickly,
and people did know you from YouTube.
Yeah, but okay, so in LA, I was known for being a pop writer, so that's how I got rich so fast. I was mm-hmm. writing pop hits. Nobody in that world understood I want to go to what was the club that was outside, like Level 3 or something in LA, like
outside.
It was an outside club.
Well, there's
they used to do all the day parties.
Oh, well, Penthouse. You mean mm-mm. Toxic?
Nah, it was a while ago.
Okay,
but you know the Lajardin. Same club. They didn't change names a bunch of times.
I can't even think.
But they don't know them people. It's mm-hmm. like two different worlds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like the people who knew who I was, they, you know what I mean.
I finesse some shit.
Mm. No, I just used to drop 5 bands.
Well, now, if you're going to drop money and you really want to make, because look, as an investment, dropping money at the club, name everyone that, Dubai, because they want to know who is that. So I went to Dubai the last trip.
Stacey's going
to
make everybody go to Dubai.
I want
to
go.
No, listen to me. I swear.
He's going
to
make us all go to Dubai.
Listen to me. If you don't hear anything I say today, figure out Dubai. I went there. My last trip by myself. So after Florida, I went back. I mean, my relationships went back by myself. I went. I spent $100,000 in the club in 5 days or whatever.
Just, I don't think I want to go there.
No,
this does not sound appealing.
I left with $2 million though, because the money attracts money. I met this guy. I swear to God, if he was sitting here right now, you would think he was. Well, if he's watching, he doesn't look as rich or whatever. He's called a crypto whale. Mm-hmm. Crypto is big out there, which means if you're a crypto, yeah. Well, you're a billionaire. Mm. So he's talking to me and he's dressed real regular, flip-flop shoes. He's like, yeah, I moved here from this country, blah, blah, blah. He has his hat on, whatever. He goes, I got me an apartment here and a boat and I like to fish all day. I go, okay, yeah, where do you live? He goes, oh, I live in that's my apartment building right there. He bought the entire building and his boat was a huge yacht down, that's my boat right there. It's a huge yacht. So he's worth like over $3 billion. And so he asked me my story and I'm telling him, literally the story, like you have a story, you have a story, we have a story. And afterwards he goes, you know, I love that so much. I would love to support it. I'll give you $100 million if you have the plan. Where they do that at? Wow. Not in LA, not in New York, not in Miami. Miami, they want to go to Prime and Carbone. New York, right. They want to go to One Oak. LA, they want to be outside. $100 million to figure out a plan. So we're figuring out the plan, but just the opportunity there is crazy.
Sound like mm-hmm. I need to go to Dubai.
Let's go to Dubai.
So you're going to drop a bag.
$100 million.
I'll be like, we got money long coming in. She need a section.
She's on the way. I got a plan.
Once she goes there and perform, then, you know, they have a club called White. Once you perform at White, they can be like, keep coming back. And the money is like 3 times the rate.
Jason, you got the connection. Set it up.
Yeah.
Let me make some calls.
Okay, because she got a #1 song. It's platinum.
I know. Okay,
platinum artist right here. Let's
we just
not
went
play
to pop
no
radio
game.
Yesterday. Y'all.
She was so good at the Black Music Collective. Me and Tiffany were sitting there, and when you were performing,
I saw Tiffany was like,
oh, it was that second song.
That's definitely her type of shit.
Yeah, that second song. It was like, yo.
And you know my song is another. I want to ask this because I do love that song.
Thank you.
I love how it starts and everything. So have you ever left somebody for another person?
Because
another person. Not you. I know you haven't because I know that's not.
No.
But I'm asking Jason. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm like a car. I'm going to run all the gas out. And then when the gas is all the way out, then I'm out. Like, I can't, like.
You never had nobody sweep you off your feet while you were with someone and been like.
I was 300 pounds. You couldn't sweep me off my feet at the time.
Oh, shit.
But no, you still can't sweep me off my. There's somebody right now that's sweeping me off my feet a little bit. So I'm like, really. But I'm also in a place where I don't trust. I'm not like out with everybody anymore. No, I've never been in a situation and then seen somebody else and go, oh my God, I need that. Like, nah. That's kind of weird.
You never left nobody for someone else?
I was hoping you didn't ask me that. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Toxic.
You with your baby mom now? So that's, you left somebody to get with her?
Yeah.
Is it because you felt like this is the one, like you felt it?
Yeah. I felt like this was probably the last great person.
Wow.
And I didn't want to miss out on that opportunity. And at the time it was weird because I just lost my dad. And I got into like a car accident or some shit, so I felt like God was giving me warning, like, you might not be here, nigga. Better go
enjoy it.
Yeah.
And do what you want.
Yeah.
So you was tapped out on the other relationship.
Yeah.
Why?
Gotcha.
Great person. She was a hustler. Just I felt like at this particular time in our lives, we both wasn't ready for each other. Like, I was ready to obviously go to that next stage and create a union or a family, and she was more focused on, well, I feel like she wasn't focused enough, like, as far
she
as, like,
focused.
In her business and all that.
Ambition is, like, if you don't have enough ambition, that is, like,
that's a deal breaker, because you feel like,
that's a deal breaker for me.
You feel like that person.
You don't even got to be there, but I got to see that you want to.
The potential.
You have to have the
aspiration to want. I
got to
see you, like, going for it
exactly.
And having ideas and being excited.
Yeah.
You know, I need to see that.
So I didn't feel like that person.
And Buddha,
not
everybody know what you do, just so they know, because Buddha is here in the studio. You know, you got your own space in here, but I just want people to know who
you
are.
I'm a music producer. Been doing music professionally for over 10 years. We also have a workshop, an educational workshop for producers called Steel Sessions, which will be a functioning label next couple months with a major. So.
Okay, and tell them who you work with, so we 30.
Work with Rick Ross, Nipsey, Neo, Young and May, Jada, list goes on, over about 50 major artists.
Okay. I just want to make sure we know who Buddha
hopefully
is.
Hopefully in the future, Money Long.
Of course.
Definitely.
We like to make these type of connections. You know, like, you could go to Dubai and really come up.
Yes.
I feel like we just need to have like a Dubai trip. We need to have it organized.
I'm creating something out there right now.
I knew it!
It's gonna be semi-annual. It's called the Hollywood Unlocked Power 100 Dinner Party series. So we're gonna do it semi-annually. The first one's gonna be in October, and so we're talking to two amazing people.
Yeah, perfect like timing.
It's $100,000 a table.
Well, if you need to educate musicians, out there.
No, listen, it's real. It's different out there. I tell everybody go.
And we don't got to get shitted on or nothing?
No.
Okay,
you know,
make sure.
I really don't understand this.
That's crazy.
I heard that girls get paid. They bring you out there. They give you
50,000,
70,000, piss on you, doodle on you.
Yes, I've heard
that. You know what's so crazy? Like, I don't know what kind of bedding people have, but like, I take pride in having really good bedding. You know what I mean? Like, I have really nice, comfortable, like, plush ass, all white bedding. Could you imagine somebody coming like, shit on me? And
if
then
you
shit
got 50,000 to
smell.
Give somebody,
you can get the sheets
to buy another set of sheets.
I just don't think
shit on
like
satin sheets.
Shitting on
I
somebody
can change
is
them.
Really fucking low. Like there's nothing.
I mean, they
lower
do it for entertainment. Like, yeah, look
there's
at this
no
bitch.
Entertainment.
Jason, you've definitely peed on someone.
No, I actually
not
tried
into
to.
Water
no, I actually tried to do it one time because the person
it
wanted me to. You know, it's time I said I'm gonna fuck with this white boy. Blah, whatever. You know. You know, and he wanted me to do some way out weird shit, but my bladder. And I had to pee, too, which was crazy, because I had to pee.
It wasn't
but my bladder was
it
like, nigga, I draw the line. Like, we're not doing this. I've been with you through so much shit. We're not going to do this. I couldn't even pee. Yo, it was the desire to be peed on, meeting with the can't pee on you moment that was, like, quiet and, like, weird as fuck. Because this person wanted to be peed on, and I was trying, but I couldn't. And that's when I realized, not interested in white boys and the weird shit. And I feel like if you come in my room and you pee your shit all over my sheets, like you just disrespect
I mean,
the
whole level
thing in my house.
Yeah, no, that's
that's
another, like.
And if they shit on you, do they want to, like,
because you know how when kids shit, they then want to smear it. Like, what is that?
No, I don't know. I feel like if there's anyone out here who is bold enough to discuss this activity, maybe give them like the blur face. Come on, lip service and tell.
They will. Somebody asked me to pee on them once. I didn't even.
Who was it?
It was like a coworker at one of my old jobs.
I was gonna say Charlamagne. No, you did not.
No. It was one of my old jobs. I didn't even like. We didn't work. You know, he just worked there. And he was like, hey, I didn't know him that well. He was like, let's go to lunch one day. And I was like, all right, you know, he's a coworker. And then he asked me if I've ever peed on anyone. And I was like, no. I was like, where is this going? He was like, you know, would you consider like, and we didn't even have no relationship at all.
But he just wanted
that's
to pee
awkward.
On you?
He wanted me to pee on him.
Oh.
You didn't go to human resource?
I didn't do it. No, I didn't go to human resource. I mean, I wasn't really offended, to be honest. All right.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When Gia Casey said that she hadn't had the orgasms in all that time, Envy, I think I texted Envy, but I don't know if it was green or wasn't going through. What was your thought on that? Because, like, I feel like with Jada, like, because Jada is emasculated Will Smith beyond, like, I don't even know what's next, right? Is that emasculation when you say something like that, or?
You know, she was on here and she said that that was part of the reason why she felt like he cheated, because she said that to him.
Oh, you privately. Know. Before.
Yeah, privately. Oh, okay. But I also feel like what his explanation is that they were really young when that happened. And a lot of women, like, do you remember your first orgasm?
I was very young. Oh, you were. I was by myself.
Oh, okay, so yeah. That, but with a man. Like, do you remember the first time you had an orgasm?
And why do women have such a hard time getting an orgasm from a man? Do it's men just different. Not know what to do?
It's just different. Like,
I think you have to be able to be vocal and tell them, unless you're working with somebody
tell them how
who's,
to do it?
Yeah, because everybody's body is different. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like you have to lead them to the places.
Mm-hmm. I used to only be able to orgasm from oral sex, but I was fine with that. Like, if I come, I'm fine.
And would you tell the man that, though?
I never faked it. Like, I never would be like, like,
no,
I can't.
But do women tell men, like, this is how I orgasm? Or do
well,
they,
when
or
you get like, hard, that's hard.
When you get more comfortable.
Yeah,
because
no, that's really hard to do, though. It's really hard.
And
she
was his first. So that means she never orgasmed before
Gia
that.
Was.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she was his first anyway. And so I feel like when you first start having sex, you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
And you feel like the guy's supposed to know. Because that's the way that society makes it like and, women yeah. You're not
so she
supposed
wasn't
to have
saying
a voice.
It in a way like Jada what she's doing
no.
Well okay so
but I feel like if you've never had an orgasm like from that you don't realize that you've never had it until you do and then the day you do you're like oh shit
so at that point are you just doing it to please your man and-
well you can still enjoy sex without having an orgasm okay. Mm-hmm. Like your pussy still gets wet like you're mm-hmm. Still like this is amazing I love him whatever and he can still eat you out and you can come from that.
Cause I
think
like,
that's always the best feeling, by the way, when a guy like goes down on you, you come and then he puts it in.
Cause I feel like Envy's response after he came back on your show and explained it was like, it was that typical nigga response. One, you know, like it ain't my dick. That was the reason why she didn't orgasm. Cause he was like, you know, it wasn't the size, but you know, I was low key kind of laughing, but also wanted to call him and like offer support. But like, I feel like I love their relationship. I love them in general, and I love how open they are. And it's almost like it's uncomfortable sometimes to hear real shit like that. Mm-hmm. But
I think a lot of women, there's women who've never had an orgasm. It's so much, I feel like sex is over when a man comes. That's mm-hmm. Normally what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like it, when a woman has an orgasm, if a guy didn't come, you know, you gotta finish like until mm-hmm. He does. But if a guy comes, a lot of times, like, you know, I mean, sometimes
unless they really care
yeah.
About you.
Yeah,
but then also,
to
too, there's so many other alternatives. We have toys. We have, yeah. You know what I mean?
But is it a woman's responsibility to tell a man how she orgasms? Like, this is what makes
not me. If she doesn't know. And I think right. They were so young because they got together as teenagers. Oh. She didn't know yet. And sometimes you don't know. Like, I didn't know about having an orgasm from sex until it happened.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So
also,
you think
too,
it's
there's
you.
A little bit of a stigma. It's like, you know, you get with a guy and you're so vocal about, unless you've been with them for a certain amount, I feel like there's a time limit before you can start saying stuff like that, or else
you'll
be like,
"She's
a hoe."
Hell no! Going in, you need to be able to say whatever the fuck you want.
But that's early on.
It's the men's perception of like, why are you so educated? Why do you know so much? It's like an insidious thing where it's like, "Oh, she a hoe." She, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I know it's easier for me to come if I'm on top. Sometimes it's the position. It's like different things. You know what I'm saying? Certain ways, like I'm not gonna come this way, and I need foreplay first. Before, you know what I'm saying?
This is why I feel like the conversation about premarital or casual sex is, this is where it gets in the gray area. Because it's like, premarital and casual sex, for the most part, is not designed for women. to have a good time. So if you're meeting a guy out the club, he's just trying to get some. He's not trying to pleasure you unless that's his personality.
Now, I will say the first time I had an orgasm was a guy I didn't really care about.
But was it a random hookup?
It wasn't a random hookup, but
you
like...
You knew him, though.
I knew him, yeah. We were talking, but like... And actually, I came the first time we had sex, and he was just good. Like, he knew what to do.
So why didn't you stay with him?
Because I was young. I was in college, and he smelled like outside a lot. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was on the block.
Wait, so let me ask you. So now that, well, you're married, so you don't count. And you're married?
You don't count.
You're really married. Wow.
You don't count.
Because the question I'm going to ask. So you're not, you're single?
No, I have a boyfriend.
Uh-huh. Well, ask it anyway.
Well, like, at what level of success did you realize the regular hookup is like not optional?
I don't know. You know what? I always wish that I had had the opportunity to like online date. And I feel like it's fun. It would be fun. I've never done it because I've, you know, been in relationships and everything. So I've never done it. But I feel like dating is fun.
Wait, so you're in a relationship? Why? I don't know you're in a relationship. I mean, why, I've never seen, you don't post them or something?
No, I never post
them. What is that about? Why? Let Hollywood unlock.
You're probably very
lip
peaceful.
Service unlocked. Why can't we get in your business?
Because it's amazing that it works the way that it does. Probably because I don't. Also, I feel like sometimes like bullshit be going on. I don't want nobody to be like, going to him and like trying to, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that
doesn't
messes
help
it
the
up.
Brand.
Yeah.
Especially if y'all both working in two different
and
industries.
And like we go out, we do things, people see us, everybody, but it's not like I gotta post you.
Hmm. How do you feel about other blogs covering your life?
They don't. We have a good relationship. We talk. We all talk. Well, we, you know, we have a thing. We have a thing. This is what I love about, you know, people who want fame and they want to be talked about on all the blogs. I don't want to be talked about.
Me neither.
When I want Angie to post something, I want Robin to post something, or I want E or whatever, I send the blast, I send it to him, here, can you please post this? But like, if one of them posted, like this girl, she posted, why is Jason Lee at the Grammys? I literally, this writer from The Cut, I had my investigator find her house, her name, I put all
Jason,
her...
Jason, you are crazy.
No, because I need to know who I'm dealing with. Let me find out what's going on in your life. See, that's why, like, if you want to write about me, that's cool. And if you want to write bad about me, that's cool too. But I'm
just
gonna.
Just know it comes with something.
It's gonna come with something, and the price is gonna be like.
I just feel like no matter what,
he said Game of Thrones, he ain't playing.
Your daddy
was,
better not
if
be.
If it was
out
treated
here.
Like that, mm-hmm. media would be a whole lot different.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing. Everybody, like, to that. Everybody don't
you
like to put
what?
Their face
that's
out
what,
there.
What's your sign?
Leo.
Okay.
Big Leo
but when you write about people who you don't know, then do they do that to you?
I don't write about the other people who own platforms. Okay. Like, I don't write about Angie, or I don't write about Robin, or these, you know, or Jasmine. I don't write about them because that's just the thing. Like, they don't want me digging in their shit because we all got some shit.
I like what he said about hiring somebody to go look at your life. Don't play with me.
Baby,
that's
she's so funny. All right, anyway, this is Lip Service. Thank y'all so much for coming through. Money Long, we popped a cherry on here. We appreciate you so much.
I'm so happy that I got to do this. I feel like somebody.
Yeah, and look, your husband's in the other room, so we didn't want to ask too many questions.
You could have. He would have talked about me later, but he would have.
All right, well, you got to get tied up at some point.
Don't give him no ideas.
Okay, so if you had a choice of who's going to get tied up, you or him, who's it going to be?
He not letting me tie him up. It's not gonna happen.
You never know.
He won't. Trust me, it's not gonna happen.
All right, so you.
Me. It'll be me for sure.
Jason Lee, we need you to step out of your comfort zone and do a little more. No. Okay. Buddha, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This fucking guy, man. I just want to say the thoughts and things expressed by Jason Lee have nothing to do with Money Long.
No.
Or Buddha. No. It's all Jason.
Or Angelique. But if you want receipts, call me. HollywoodUnlock.com.
Okay, it's lip service, y'all.